upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. Were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. And greeting, friends. This is Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Well, with cities looking at new ways to use garages and alleviate congestion, which they all are, of course, parking management company Flash Parking says it has a different solution. Convert garages into, quote, urban mobility hubs that serve multiple purposes. Instead of using garages for just parking cars, the company suggests repurposing them and adding areas to charge electric vehicles, park and charge dockless bikes and scooters, stage ride-hailing vehicles when they do not have a fare, clean and service cars, and act as a holding area for autonomous vehicles. Quote, parking garages aren't the first thing that come to mind when you think of urban mobility or smart city initiatives, but some of the more innovative asset owners and parking operators are seeing that there is an opportunity to be part of the solution than continue to be part of the problem, says Jordan Weiss, vice president of the marketing at Flash Parking. Well, this is a new scheme. This is the first mention of this that I've seen openly. This company is attempting to convert many garages around the country into urban mobility hubs. And you can see the certain logic of it. However, what I want Technocracy News readers to understand that this is not a new program at all. This was a key feature of Technocracy back in 1934. Yes, it was. Shared rides and urban mobility hubs. I'm going to read to you from the Technocracy study course, which was the Bible of Technocracy in 1934, written mostly by M. King Hubbard. He was the guy, by the way, that invented the peak oil theory in 1954, but he was, in fact, a co-founder of Technocracy Incorporated, along with Howard Scott. And here's what they wrote on page 244. To improve the load factor, it will be necessary to put all automobiles under a unified control system whereby they are manufactured, serviced, and superintended by the automotive branch of the transportation sequence. Now, the transportation sequence was that part of the hierarchy that would be responsible for all transportation in the country. They called it a sequence rather than an administration, for instance. It goes on, next paragraph, as regards the use of automobiles, now here it comes, the change of administration would be even more profound, whereas at the present time, one buys an expensive automobile and leaves it parked the greater part of the time in front of his house as evidence of conspicuous consumption. The automobiles that we are speaking of would have to be kept in operation. This would be accomplished by instituting what would resemble a national, quote, drive-it-yourself, close quote, system. The automotive branch of transportation would provide a network of garages at convenient places all over the country from which automobiles could be had at any hour of the day or night. No automobiles would be privately owned. Let me repeat that. No automobiles would be privately owned. When one wished to use an automobile, he would merely call on the garage, present his driver's license, and a car of the type needed would be assigned to him. When he was through with the car, he would return it to either the same garage or to any other garage that happened to be convenient and surrender his energy certificates in payment for the cost incurred while he was using it. Now, energy certificates, by the way, were that mechanism that would replace money as we know it today. They never intended to have a price-based economic system is going to be an energy-based economic system. So they envisioned giving everybody energy certificates. It continues on page 245. The details of this cost accounting for automotive transportation are significant. The individual no longer pays for the upkeep of the car, or for its refueling, or servicing. All this is done by the automotive branch of the Division of Transportation. In this manner, a complete performance and cost record of every automotive vehicle is kept from the time it leaves the factory until the time it is finally scrapped, and the metal that it contains is returned to the factory for refabrication. In this manner, the exact energy cost per car mile for the automotive transportation of the entire country is known at all times. Similar information is available on the length of life of automobiles and of tires. With such information in the hands of the research staff, it becomes very definite as to which of the various designs is the superior or inferior in terms of the physical cost per car mile. You can sense the detail and the micromanagement involved here. In particular, the very last sentence when it says, with such information in the hands of the research staff, well, there you go. All the data gets transmitted back to the quote-unquote research staff. They figure everything out and make recommendations on how the system would be modified. So you see, this is exactly, almost exactly what this company, Flash Parking, is proposing for urban mobility hubs. Just come on in. Oh, you need a ride? Why, here's some options. We have scooters. We have bicycles, electric bicycles. We have Uber. We have Lyft. And who knows what else, probably flying taxis at some point in time. Just come into your friendly neighborhood urban mobility hub and we'll take care of you with some type of a shared ride operation. Well, next up is an article that will almost give you a heart attack, I suppose. AI, artificial intelligence, now purports to be 90% accurate for predicting death by heart attack. Yes, they really claim that they have arrived at this level of accuracy by measuring up to 85 different variables that can be collected and ascertained from your health records to decide whether or not you are going to have a heart attack. And moreover, when? Yeah. Well, when insurance companies, HMOs, Medicare, etc., implement this technology, whether it's right or wrong, whether it's false positives or double negatives or whatever, patients will see rampant discrimination based on their AI health score. Yeah, don't worry about death panels, by the way, that people used to talk about under Obamacare. That's old school stuff. But, you know, after all, who would want to sell a life insurance policy to somebody who's going to die soon, especially keel over dead with a heart attack? It's pretty fatal and it's pretty costly to the insurance company. That would be a bad risk. So you know the insurance companies, if nobody else, are going to be crazy, insane to get a hold of this technology because it will allow them to make a whole lot more money than they ever made before. And imagine with the condition of healthcare as it is, as we've been talking about healthcare recently and the Big Brother approach to the exam room now, when your HMO or when your medical practice or clinic or whatever association they're involved with gets a hold of this kind of technology, again, they will be making your diagnosis for you, that is the AI will, prescribing the course of action and predicting the outcome. This is going to be very dicey when the lawsuits start flying over service and access to service being denied for some reason that's cooked up by the AI program. Our last story today concerns Amazon, which is in the news a lot these days. Amazon is setting its eyes on UPS and FedEx. There's just no denying it anymore. The writer of this article starts out, Amazon's new robot packs 600 boxes per hour versus humans at under 200. And with that announcement that's been made to Amazon employees, they're offering $10,000 for any employee to quit and start their own delivery business. You have to think this through. There's lots of unemployed people at Amazon or going to be unemployed at Amazon because of this automation. They're almost to the point where some of their warehouses can be completely automated. Everything from from stocking to picking to packaging, or assembling and packaging and then boxing and then putting all the labels and stuff on it for shipment, they're almost to the point where a warehouse could be completely 100% automated. Not quite, but they're really close. So the remaining employees that are working in warehouses around the world, they need a delivery system. And of course, anybody who starts a delivery business under the auspices of Amazon's care and scrutiny will be out there delivering packages on their terms. Somebody has to be thinking about this. Well, gee, so you can make a lot of money doing that. Why, you get yourself a little truck, they'll probably finance it for you, a little delivery van, and you get it filled up with packages each morning and go out to deliver it, and you get paid for that. That's an independent business. Yes, that's a nice model. Free enterprise and all that stuff. Well, I ask you a question. Is there any money in driving a car these days? Well, just go ask an Uber or a Lyft driver how they feel about it. They're complaining that they're being squeezed into poverty. Will Amazon be any better than Uber or Lyft? Judging by their recent history on the way they treat employees, I seriously doubt it. In the meantime, if an army of delivery businesses are created by Amazon and they're captive to Amazon now, and they will do what Amazon tells them to do, UPS is in big trouble. So is FedEx. Amazon is already committed now to delivering almost all of their goods in a single day. That means more warehouses, maybe more micro warehouses around the country that'll be mostly automated. But the little fleet of delivery people hovering around that micro warehouse or mini warehouse, like honeybees in a hive, will be the ones that distribute these packages to the local community. UPS and FedEx have nothing really to compete with this. They don't have warehouses from which they pick products. They're just merely a delivery service. And as the rising tide lifts all boats, a falling tide sinks all boats. And my guess is that Amazon is going to absolutely swamp the delivery business across the board, because UPS and FedEx will be competing with all these other people. The article points out that UPS does not deliver on Saturday. Prime does. It's Amazon Prime. That's true. They're delivering on Sunday now, too. UPS doesn't. UPS is also the single largest employer in the Teamsters Union. That means the UPS contract is the largest collective bargaining agreement in North America. That's right. It's huge. And so all of the costs that are associated with UPS delivering a package, there is no way on this green earth that UPS will be able to compete with Amazon on cost. Conclusion, UPS is doomed. If you haven't had a chance to think through the issue of supporting the work of Technocracy News and Trends financially, I would encourage you to head over to patreon.com/technocracy and make a pledge, a monthly pledge of any size really is wonderful. $1, $2, $5. It really helps our entire operation here to know that there's people standing with us and standing behind us. Plus, we really do need the money to help out with expenses. So if you can do your part, I greatly appreciate it if you could get involved. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Have a great day. Thank you.